This morning, we are finishing our series that we're calling One Verse. Each Sunday during this series, who's ever preaching has picked one verse that is significant in their story. I was able to do the first 2 weeks. And then we had Justin Pritchard share his one verse. Last week, Chris Gothold shared his one verse. This morning, we have somebody else preaching, sharing their one verse. A couple things you need to know about this individual. Individual studied at North Park University, graduated with a BA in psychology and conflict transformation. How's that for a degree? And this individual is currently going to North Park Seminary, working on a master's and licensure and hopefully ordination within the Covenant Church in the years to come. And so I'd like you to welcome our preacher this morning, Emily Seiler.
Awesome. For a second, I thought you were stealing my mic, and I was like, no, come back with that microphone. It's here. We're fine. Like you said, my name is Emily Seiler. I am the youth director here at Community Covenant Church, and I am so excited to be able to give this talk to you guys. A little nervous, mostly excited. I have to confess something to you. I cheated. I didn't pick one verse. I picked an entire chapter in Psalms. Don't worry. It's a short chapter. It's fine. I have the mic. I have the control. You're going to be okay. So I'm a little bit of a history nerd, confess, once again. So you're going to have to bear with me a little bit as we go through the history of Psalm 46. It is written by the sons of Korah. And basically, they're just a Levitical group and the leaders in the kingdom of northern Israel. And eventually, the kingdom of northern Israel falls. And these priests begin to migrate down into Jerusalem. And it is when they are serving in Jerusalem in the southern kingdom that their songs become incorporated into our modern songbook. During this time in the southern kingdom, there were several festivals that would take place. And people from all over, the clicker works, all over ancient Palestine would come and take a trip to Jerusalem to celebrate and remember moments in Israel's history. Throughout the festival, they would worship God as someone who is enthroned over the elements of chaos. Enthroned over the elements of chaos. And specifically, one of these festivals is called the Festival of Zion. And the Psalm 46 was like a central theme in this festival. It would be sung throughout the small city of Jerusalem. Can you imagine it? In the small city filled with cobblestones, people's voices echoing off of the stones in the streets, the songs echoing off, and these important moments in Israel's history are being reenacted. Let your imaginations run wild. Now, it gives a little bit of instruction before on how this song is supposed to be sung. And so above, you can see that it says, according to Alamoth. Basically, that means that this song is supposed to be sung by women. So let your imaginations, once again, run wild as we read Psalm 46 together. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way and though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though its mountains tremble with its swelling, there is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, a holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations are in uproar and the kingdoms are tottering. But he utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes the wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Do you imagine it? The psalm paints a very vivid picture. Intermixed, clicker, are elements of chaos and a promise of hope and a future. The chapter describes an earthquake as though the earth is giving way into the sea, and then after a raging storm. And it's as if these natural disasters aren't enough. The people are at war. Stability is nowhere to be found. Kingdoms are falling. Everything is out of control. It's as if the writer can only see chaos and pain. And yet, we are reminded that God is a refuge and a strength, an ever-present help in trouble. God is with you. The Lord Almighty is with you. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Psalm 46 serves as a reminder that in the midst of chaos, God is a redeemer. The public nature of which the song would be sung suggests that Jewish people needed that reminder that God is enthroned over chaos. The Jewish people understood that God was active in their world. We don't know the specifics of what this song is describing, but we can make guesses and make estimates. I like to imagine that it's commemorating the Exodus. These people who are newly freed from Egypt are walking through the wilderness, through the desert, and through the mountains, and they become against the Red Sea, and they're trapped. With Pharaoh's army coming up behind them and the waters before them, there is no escape. All they can see is chaos and pain and their imminent destruction. You can hear their panic in the scriptures. They say to Moses, "Did you bring us out of Egypt just so that we would bury our graves here? Were there not enough graves for us in Egypt that we came to die out here?" And Moses says something to them. Moses says, "Be still, and the Lord will make a way for you." Then God instructs Moses on how to part the waters. God is very much indeed a very present help in trouble. The songs that are being sung in Jerusalem during the Festival of Zion, the people would remember. We would remember elements in their stories. They would remember the fear and the pain and the mystery of it. But they would also remember that God didn't let them stay in that fear and that pain and the mystery and the chaos. They would remember that God is a redeemer. They would remember that God was a help in a very, very troubling situation. When I was asked by Mike what verse has stood out to me and been a definition of my understanding of my faith, I knew that Psalm 46 was the one. I remembered my story and the things that had brought me to Psalm 46. It had reminded me that God is very present in my life and that God is a redeemer. He takes the things that are chaotic and makes them new and makes it into something else. For too long in my life, I had been struggling with some pretty intense trauma. And I didn't feel like there was a way out. And so I dealt with it in the only way that I knew how, which was to bury it. And to run away from it and to not deal with it. In my inability to deal with my pain and my trauma, it started to control me. I was reading through Psalms because someone told me I needed to. And I was also desperate to look and find a new way, a way for freedom from my own experiences. And on the 46th day of reading, I came across Psalm 46. And I related to it in a way that I had never related to Scripture before, especially the way that it described the elements of chaos. During that time, I felt like every step that I was taking was on shaky ground. Like the earth was giving way beneath my very feet, I was on an island alone. and the waters were rising around me, and it was hard to breathe. But my heart had been swallowed in the sea of my pain, and I didn't know how to get it back. On an island of my own creation, I am surrounded by waves that look just too big and too dangerous, and I could not see the horizon. The land was not stable enough for me to climb and find the sky. I had lost control of my own chaos. But in Psalm 46, I found whispers of hope and wholeness. I needed to know that God was active in my world, just like those Jewish people knew that God was active in their stories. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. It's as if God had caught me in those verses and said, "Hey, I see you. You're not alone. We're going to do this together. This isn't forever." The verse is referring to Jerusalem. The ancient people would use feminine pronouns to refer to cities. And basically what it's saying is that when God is in the city of Jerusalem, Jerusalem is invincible. It cannot be overtaken. God is within that city. God will dwell in that city, and it will not fall. In reading this verse, I was reminded that I was capable. God is within me, and I am strong because of who God created me to be. And then something changed in my understanding of who God was. God had been there the whole time, but God was waiting for me to choose to participate in my own redemption and my own healing. I didn't need to be afraid of my pain anymore because my pain was not going to overtake me. God was within me. I would not fall. I would not be victim to my pain anymore. And through my previous avoidance of my pain and my fear, I had let it control me, and it controlled my understanding of who I was, who God was, and who the people around me were. Through this psalm, I recognized that God was with me, and I needed to change the way I approached my relationship with God. I became more intentional with my scripture reading. I incorporated things like Lectio Divina and guided meditative practices. And I went to counseling. That was big. Slowly, the patterns of my thoughts changed. And God was able to use these practices to create a new thought pattern in my life. The process was painful. The process was long. But it was good. Just because something is hard doesn't mean that it is not good. I'm always afraid to tell people of the trauma I've experienced, honestly, for a bunch of reasons. One of them being is I'm afraid of the labels that people will place on me. I'm afraid that people will pity me and only see my experience and my pain. But most of all is because I have PTSD. When I talk about my trauma, it's as if my body and my mind take me back to that experience. So I'm there living it all over again, and one day I'll tell you, but not today. I buried it deep in my soul, so that no one would find it, not even me. But it became so much a part of my understanding of my identity that it became like it was controlling me. And I was afraid of my trauma, and I pretended that everything was fine. Is this familiar to anyone else? Running away from our pain and trying to run away from our pain, and it, meanwhile, it infects our understanding of ourself, and it affects the way we think about God and the people around us. The pain we experienced during a previous relationship slips into our current ones, almost unknowingly. Or maybe our upbringing and our tension that we experience with our parents slips into our parenting style and the way that we relate to our kids. Or maybe we have unresolved conflict between a friend or our spouse or our siblings or a coworker, and we're afraid to talk about it, either because it's become such an intentional part of this relationship that we're afraid to let it go and become something new. or we're afraid to have this hard conversation. Slowly and unconsciously, they affect the way that we think. I don't believe that this is how God intended us to live. We are not meant to live under the control of our lives or the fears and our pain, even if that is where we are comfortable. Pain and hard things are going to happen to us. But the beauty of it is that our pain and our brokenness doesn't have to stay that way. God is whispering your redemption story to you. Can you hear it? You are meant to be made whole. You are meant to experience redemption. And in the midst of your chaos and your turmoil, God promises healing. But don't let your fear of pain keep you from your promise of healing. In the second stanza, the very things that are meant to hold us back have turned into something new. The waters that were once chaos are now streams that give life to the city of Jerusalem, just like in Exodus. The Red Sea served as a trap for the Israelites. With Pharaoh's army behind them and the sea before them, there was no escape. And then God used Moses to part the waters, and the things that were trapping them became their pathway to safety. You see, God could have parted the waters by himself, but he chose to walk with the Israelites, with them, along them, on their path of redemption and their path towards freedom. God used Moses on purpose. Sometimes I think we get caught waiting for God to do the healing for us, when in reality, God wants to do the healing with us. Redemption requires participation, not passivity. It is an active choice that we get to choose, right? When we participate in God's redemption story for us, the mountains we have built for ourselves begin to tremble and fall away into the heart of the seas. The waves that have swallowed us whole turned into streams that give life. The ironic thing and the great thing about God is the things that have become cages in our lives begin to be made new. The things that have caused us to dwell in the dark valleys of the soul become our victory song sung in front of people, and the very thing that was causing us pain and hardship have been remade. It's as if the darkness we experience isn't the darkness of the grave, because God could not be contained in the grave. But instead, it's the darkness of a womb where we are gone, where we come out made whole and made new. This is redemption. This is how God meant for us to live, not in the cages of our pain, but in the freedom of our healing. Today we celebrated communion, and I can think of no better example of God's redemption. A story that on the surface seems tragic and chaotic and out of control. An illegitimate son, someone who was an immigrant and a refugee, someone who was a blue-collar worker and from an ethnic group that was traditionally oppressed, the definition of lower class. But he became a leader, and his friends betrayed him. And he died a shameful death on the cross. But God wasn't finished. The grave did not remain shut. It was opened, and out walked Jesus, holy and redeemed. God wasn't finished. And God is not finished with you. It is through participation in God's redemption that we experience the wholeness of our stories. Let me say it again. It is through participation in God's redemption that we experience the wholeness of our stories. God wants you to be complete. That's why he sent his son to die for us in the first place. I have a challenge for you this week. Ask God a question. Ask God, what do you want me to do with these painful moments in my story? And here's the hard part. Listen. Listen, be still, and listen to what God has to say to you about your painful moments in your story. Are you ready for another hard thing? Tell somebody. Tell somebody the answer. Because when we tell somebody, we gain a partner. We gain someone who's going to help us through these tough experiences. We gain someone who's going to keep us accountable and actually make us move towards our healing. Don't let these moments, these painful moments, subtly control you anymore. Allow God to work in your story, because God is not finished with you. Everyone's story is different, and everyone's process for healing is different. For me, that meant that I had to go to counseling. If you're somebody who thinks that counseling, that you don't need counseling, I'm going to challenge you and say that maybe this is a sign that you are running away. Counseling is so important. It helps you recognize thought patterns in your mind, and it was the most helpful thing for me. For some of you, that means maybe you invite new people into your pain. Maybe that means that you create a community of people who have a similar pain to you, that you guys can walk through it together. Maybe this means incorporating new and challenging ideas into your faith. It's scary being vulnerable with people because we're afraid that sometimes that our pain is going to be too much for them. If it's too much for me, then it's going to be too much for somebody else. But you will never be the exception of God's redemption, and you will never be the exception of God's love. No wound is too deep. God is whispering your redemption story to you. Can you hear it? Come experience the wholeness of who you were created to be. Don't let the world tell you who you are. Don't let your children tell you who you are. Don't let your parents tell you who you are. And don't let your spouse tell you who you are. Don't even let yourself tell you who you are. Let God tell you who you are. Be still and know that God is God. Be still and know that you can be made whole. Be still and know that you can be redeemed. Be still and know that you are not the exception. Be still and know that you are loved by a mighty, mighty God. Amen, church. Amen. Join me in prayer.